are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome to God Geeks Podcast. I'm James. This is Bill.
Bill Brimer here.
And you know who we are because you listen every week and you subscribe. But we've got something fun to talk about today. We're talking about purpose, our purpose in life. What is it? We're going to talk about Westworld, if you haven't heard of that show yet. We're going to talk about some Star Wars rumors, Rogue One rumors, Episode 8 rumors, and of course we're going to give a quick little recap or some talk about Game of Thrones. You guys have gotten used to that, so
yeah. And worlds are going to collide this episode because Jedi Mind Tricks is feeding right into This Week in Geek, and This Week in Geek is referring back to Jedi Mind Tricks. So it's almost like we planned it, but we didn't. We had no plan.
No plans.
But we're excited about this. We're announcing a contest, right?
A contest, yeah. So we need some reviews on iTunes so that this podcast reaches a bigger audience, people who might be out of our circle.
Yeah, because you guys are listening. There's a lot. Actually, quite a few people are listening to the show now.
Yeah, we got a good listenership.
And so we need you guys who are listening to go on to iTunes and
review us.
Yeah, you got to like log.
You have to give a 5-star.
This time
review.
You actually log in.
Yeah,
you do log in on here now. Yeah, it's not just visit iTunes. It's log in and you get a username and everything, and you can review.
Yep.
And your name shows up on there. And here's what we're gonna do. If we get how many?
20.
Let's 20 reviews. If we get 20 reviews,
5-star reviews.
That's right. We want good reviews, but hey, just be honest. If
4
you,
or 5.
Yeah,
star.
Yeah. If you like,
if you don't
like
the
show,
give us a 4.
Yeah. If you don't like it, you're not gonna like the prize anyway. Well, maybe you would. The prize will be we're gonna choose one. If we get at least 20, we're gonna choose one name
randomly
out of a hat, and that person is gonna get to come on the show.
The one prize that doesn't cost us money.
That's right. Yeah. Well, what a prize. No, but you'll actually get to come on the either call
guest,
in.
Our first guest ever.
A call in. Yeah, you'll be the first guest on the show. And so that's the contest we're running. So do it, man.
Fame and fortune.
Actually, log on and give your username and give us a review on iTunes. So what happens now, James?
We wait for everyone to do that this week.
Actually, no.
No. Oh, wait. We have Jedi Mind Tricks.
Yeah, that's right. Hit it.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail. You must unlearn what you have learned.
Look out for that rocket, Chewie. Grab your crossbow because it's time for Jedi Mind Tricks. We're rolling on. And James, you have so many fascinating conversations with your students, high school students.
Yeah,
and
they're fun.
It's interesting that you have so many conversations with them about theological things. And we both kind of think at about an eighth grade level.
Yeah.
So this works perfectly for our podcast to sort of help feed like the conversations and the questions
that
they have. And so you had mentioned just in our prep for the show today that there was something sort of interesting question. And I want to hear you not only, sort of ask the question, but I'd like to hear about the conversations that you and the kids had around this subject.
Yeah. So we've been reading some short stories, and they come from kind of the different philosophies that were a reaction to Romanticism, which was a very touchy-feely kind of worldview where you can find go out in nature and transcend it and, find spiritual truths by doing that. Well, naturalism was like a response saying there is no supernatural, all there is natural, and we have, our only purpose is to survive. And then we got on the subject of nihilism and determinism and a bunch of other isms. And really what it was coming down to is they were all philosophies about what's our purpose. Do we have purpose? So I posed the class the question, what is our purpose? And it was kind of hard to get some answers that I think might be on target, if that makes sense. So then it got me thinking about, well, what is our
purpose? It's a big question.
It's a huge question.
Yeah. So talk about of course, anonymously, but some of the things they were wrestling with.
Okay. Is it to please God? Is our purpose to please God? So that, you know, they were thinking, do we have to do things to please God? Is that our purpose in life?
Okay. So sort of a vertical, vertical meaning, you know, from us to him.
Us to him. Yeah. Right. And I think that is a understanding of our purpose that a lot of people have. That our purpose is to make God happy, to praise him, to do things for him, to live for him.
If they believe in God.
If they believe in God. If they don't, there's a lot.
They believe in God, they
on.
Typically see themselves as something.
Right.
You know, he, not that they would see that he needs them.
Right.
But they wouldn't probably say that, but there would be some sort of requirement.
I need to.
To do, that, to make
of,
him.
Right.
Either pacify him, I guess, or make him happy. Like he's
to please him and make him happy.
Like more stuff in the positive column, right. You know, makes a happy God, and we want to keep God happy or else.
Right. And I think it masquerades as a lot of different things that you know, they'll say, no, you don't get to heaven through works, but then, all right, I got to do some works this week because that's my purpose.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I think I think we all slip. Pretty easily into that daily,
totally.
You know,
every day.
Yeah.
Others, we're going back a little more old school with Solomon, you know, fear God and keep his commandments, as a purpose. Others were thinking a lot more this purpose driven life kind of mentality that's really seeped into, I think, Christian circles, which is we need to find our purpose, our specific individual purpose that will somehow fit into the kingdom. And for a lot of them, that means I got to go to college. I got to get a job, or I got to, you know, church on Sundays and serve. I've got to do these different things that fit into a purpose driven life. However they see that. I started thinking about it we had talked about marriage the week before in class and looked at some of the verses about, you know, the bride and the groom and, you know, we are the bride. Correct me if I'm wrong, in the whole, you know, idea of Christ is the groom, we're the bride, right?
The church.
The church is the bride.
Uh-huh.
And I started thinking, well, Christ is the one that's doing all the actual serving, all the actual sacrificing, all the actual important things. And we're just we're reaping a lot of the benefits. And I started thinking, is that our purpose to be served and be part of, you know, receive the gospel? Is that the purpose, or is there some purpose after that? Is a combination of those things.
Mm-hmm. And so what was it? What were you saying? Were you giving an answer to the question to the class?
I wasn't necessarily giving an answer yet. We didn't get to
you were proposing
totally
the
proposing
question.
I threw out, you know, maybe it is our purpose. Part of it is to be served, to receive the gospel. And then from there comes the other part of the purpose, which is, you know, the gospel shining out of us through,
mm-hmm.
through him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's an interesting conversation. I think we're really schizophrenic on the issue. We're not quite sure, you know, what our purpose is a lot of times, mm-hmm. even though we talk about it all the time.
I agree.
What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm just going to go with some of the things that Jesus said, and I can't quote to you.
That's probably the best way to go.
I can't wait to. I can't quote to you the exact phrases, but you can Google them nowadays, so it's not that big of a deal to not be able to cite. Side note, my favorite Bible that I have that I read actually doesn't have verse numbers. It only has.
That's a human construct, isn't that? Didn't we like add that?
Yeah, it just makes it. It makes it into a reference book. Yeah, it takes it. That makes it easy way to find something.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, sort of what happens accidentally is, verses sort of are taken out of that letter or that story.
Right.
And that's not a bad thing to use them as references. But but a lot of times.
But then we leave them hanging.
It's actually a pretty simple reason why I like to read that version of the Bible. I have an ESV Reader's Bible is what it's called.
Okay.
And there's no verse numbers at all. There's no footnotes. It's just the text.
Okay.
Like reading a novel. And the crazy thing about it is without all that clutter, you sit down and you actually sit down and read a lot more. You don't stop and cross-reference and look at the notes on the deal. You just read. You just keep reading because there's nothing else there except the next sentence, you know. But anyway, So I don't sometimes have the verses, verse numbers memorized. That's obviously a side note to the
it's
subject.
A footnote.
Yeah. That's a footnote, which I was trying to avoid.
So what does Jesus say about purpose?
Well, yeah. Jesus has been asked this type of question.
Yeah.
And there's not it's not the exact same question, but there's a very similar question asked to him.
Okay.
In John, what must we do to have eternal life? Like what must
we do
to like, so this idea of eternal life is really the idea of eternal purpose.
Yeah. That's the,
it's not just a floating on the clouds.
Right.
Thank God I'm not suffering life. It's a fulfilled life, you
gotcha.
Know? And, so he's asked the question, what must we do to have eternal life? And his answer is so fascinating because he says sort of the opposite of what must we do. He says the work of God is this, to believe in the one that he sent. In other words, God causes you to have faith in Christ, and that's what causes you to have fulfulfment in life.
Purpose.
And purpose.
So that I think that beautifully puts it.
Well, it's a simple and a bit of a maybe not the fullest picture of it, because you could say, what does that mean? What does it mean to have faith in Christ? And
right.
How does that give me purpose in life? And it's a fair question. I also think we sometimes when we hear the word, and this goes back to the same thing, and I'll build on this a little bit, but it goes back to the same thing of, you know, what is God's plan for me?
And that's the second question.
That's
normally
another
what's
version,
God's plan for
yeah.
me.
Yeah. And I think it's a great question. And here's another, and I hate to give you the children's sermon answer
that's
for
the
it.
That's the one I need.
But actually, this is another conversation. It's, you know the way to the Father. You know the way to life. And what are you talking about? We don't know the way to the Father. We don't know the way. And he says, I am the way.
Right.
I am the truth.
Right.
I am the life.
He's the plan.
Christ is God's plan for you.
Yeah.
And that is both scary because it's not like an itemized agenda of, well, where am I supposed to go to college?
Right.
The answer
what job am I supposed to do?
The answer is Christ. You're free. Here's the thing. Here's the thing about
that's
it.
That's what we start
you
talking
are
about.
Free in
yeah.
Christ.
Yeah.
There are so many loads of things that you can do
because you're free in Christ.
Because you can sleep in peace at night knowing that no matter what suffering you go through, no matter what pain you may endure, no matter what victories you have, and no matter what defeats you have, and no matter death, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you are free to enjoy the journey and the challenges and the victories and he is with you every step of the way, even till the end of the age. So here's the thing. Understanding the framework of meaning, because we've talked about that phrase before. Understanding the framework of meaning of the scriptures, understanding that God is writing history, and he has given you a place in that. There's never been another you. And no one's going to do your life like you're going to do it. You're going to mess up. He's going to buy it back. Yeah. Over and over again. But knowing the framework of meaning that we were created in God's image in the garden, we're intended to be with God, in communion with God. We are intended to be fully human in a place like paradise where mm-hmm. we are stewards of his creation, mm-hmm. right? So much is explained in there about our purpose. And we are also now, obviously, because of the fall, So you have creation, you have the fall, and the entrance of sin and death into the picture, and suffering and rejection of God, and Christ buying that back, right?
Right.
The gospel, the good news that he has bought you back from that, and that he's returning again. That framework of meaning, the idea of the grand story of creation, fall, redemption, and restoration, and that we are now in the end times. Our purpose has not changed. We are still intended to live in communion with God and be fully human here on earth. And that will always be our beautiful, wonderful, fulfilling purpose. And there's so much freedom in that. And it can be a little bit scary because you're like, you know, no, I want, give me a list, right?
Yeah.
Give me a list. I want
more. What hoops do I need to go through?
Right.
To be the most purpose driven.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. You want the self-help book.
Yeah, really. Yeah. And that's what I think got us on this subject a lot in the class was they're exposed a lot to self-help.
Yeah.
Masquerading as gospel, masquerading as truth, masquerading as all kinds of things.
Yeah.
But self-help, I mean, I can check things off.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Right.
But in the end, it's actually super hard.
Right. Well, it's there's a lot of, I mean, freedom is a scary thing.
Yeah.
It's why we run back to being
safety
enslaved.
Of walls. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we want to get the chains back on me.
Yeah.
It's like a prisoner. Who's been institutionalized, like Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, and then they're out in the world.
They only know this captivity, and then when they're set free, they don't know how to handle it, because at least when I was back then, I had the comfort of my misery, right?
Right.
But now I've been set free, and there is, you know, freedom's a scary thing to a sinner, and it's so foreign to us because we're used to the chains.
Right.
And when we return, we go back and sleep in our cell a lot of times with the door wide open, if you will.
And that's funny because what spurred the conversation on too in my class was we were talking about nihilism and the false freedom of nihilism, which is there is no purpose, therefore you can do whatever you want.
Right.
Which is scary and leads to despair and violence and aggressiveness and all kinds of things.
Well, it's the epitome of the sinful nature.
Yeah.
It's making it all about
it.
You. You know,
making
it all about you.
Yep.
I can do anything that I want.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to include a lot of pain for everybody else.
Oh yeah.
And that's why we're given the law, but not simply to show us our sin, but to show us what citizenship in the kingdom looks like. Show us the character of God.
Right.
See? So when I say you're free in Christ, that's not the same thing
as free
to do whatever you want.
Right.
He obviously gives you instruction about things that are illegal, immoral, unethical. These are not things you're free to do, because those things are actually slavery. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So purpose driven doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to go out and be a gangster and that's OK.
Right. Freedom doesn't.
Freedom doesn't mean,
you know,
any
suicide.
Right.
See what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I mean, you know, those run into the darkness and go to the you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that's why the law. In its fulfilled new identity lens for the Christian, you know, your identity is now in Christ, and so now when you see that your eventual resurrected reality as a human on the planet Earth, walking with God, will be a place where there is no other gods other than Him. That there is no murder, not in your heart or in reality, in the physical realm.
Yeah.
There is no theft or adultery or any of the things that are so damaging to us now. Those are not what God's kingdom is like, right?
Right. Right.
That's not your. That's you're already not that, and also you're not yet that.
Gotcha.
So it's that paradox. It's almost like the time travel paradox, you know, of I'm already there, but I'm not there. I'm already a citizen of the kingdom. And that's Paul's call all the time. That's why through that gospel lens and that new identity in Christ, we're reminded by the law of his character. Mm. Now, the law still never delivers what it demands.
Right.
Only the gospel does that.
Right.
Therefore, we are constantly in need of the gifts of God, like you were talking about, receiving.
Right.
Receiving the word, receiving the sacraments, constantly being renewed and restored in our faith by the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. And that actually is a big part of our purpose. Receiving the gifts of God.
Yeah,
that's what was happening in paradise, in the garden.
Yeah.
And we still are actually
every good and perfect gift.
We're constantly being showered with gifts from God. So that is a huge part of our purpose is to receive the gifts of Christ, to be pointed to him. And it's maybe not the answer that is as satisfying as here's a list of things that you specifically need to do.
Yeah.
But it's the only satisfying answer is Christ. He is the only satisfaction that we will ever have. I mean, it goes back to the Ecclesiastes thing. I mean, you know, all of this is pointless without that gift of God, love from God, that gift of grace and hope that we have from God. So
it sounds like we don't have to find our purpose every day, like find it.
Right.
We're part of it.
Our purpose is a who, not a what.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's a who.
Yeah.
Which is so much better.
Right.
So much better.
Great, man. Yeah. Hey, great conversation with the kids. Keep
them
coming.
Some of them are listening now.
Keep them coming. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. We're going to switch right into geek mode. This week in geek. So hit it.
C-3PO has got to be the real nerd.
It's against my programming to impersonate a deity.
Darth Vader was a cool character too, although he was the evil one.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, time to get your lightsabers out and ready. We're getting geeky. We've got some geeky stuff this week. Some Star Wars, some Westworld, maybe some Game of Thrones. Westworld, what's that? Oh, we'll get there.
Yeah.
Star Wars rumors, though. I got a couple, and I don't know if you've heard them.
These are specifically Star Wars Rogue One spoilers.
Rogue One spoiler rumors.
Spoiler
maybe.
Rumors. So if you are terrified of having that film,
then stop listening.
Yeah.
It's nothing like really plot driven. It's more like geeky
characters.
Little vehicles.
Oh.
Let's talk vehicles.
Yeah,
okay.
let's get ultra geeky.
Yeah, ultra geeky. And then a Star Wars 8 rumor. I'll start with the 8 rumor, actually. So it's rumored that Frank Oz is going to reprise his role as the voice of Yoda for Episode 8.
Is that right?
Yeah. So that could be cool. That could be really cool. That would mean Force Ghost Yoda. Which
okay.
would make, or maybe some type of recording or something they find. I don't know.
Okay.
But Frank Oz looks like he's on board. So
At a minimum... Yoda talking,
Yoda
maybe
talking.
Not appearing,
maybe not appearing
as a ghost,
right.
but talking Obi-Wan Kenobi style.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah,
I like Yoda.
Yeah, that would be really cool. I wonder how they're going to pull off. Ewan McGregor? You think for?
There's rumors with that too. There's actually still a rumor going around that maybe a Ewan McGregor, Obi-Wan Kenobi prequel.
And then is James Earl Jones, voice for
if.
In Anakin?
Anakin.
Afterlife Anakin?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. Like Mufasa, kind of.
We've never heard Afterlife Anakin.
No, we haven't.
We've seen it.
And they
it.
Retroactively We've... changed it, depending on the version
right,
you're looking
which
at.
Which was a dumb move. Yeah. They should have just left
man,
it.
We're really getting geeky now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just didn't. I don't understand why they thought they
it
needed.
It wasn't necessary.
Well, it was not only not necessary. Did he not age?
I know, right?
I mean, he would have aged even in the being a cyborg. I mean,
yeah.
So yeah, besides that, who needs what's his name?
Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, I'm like, why? I mean, you know, I don't know. Poor guy. He had to grow up like making, you know.
Rogue One rumor. All right. More of a leak, actually. Disney went around asking people to take this off the internet, but I saw it before it was taken down.
Asking?
Yeah, and people, most sites gave in and took it down. So there's a book, like a behind-the-scenes Rogue One book, that was listed on a book site. I think it's like booksellers use this site to buy books that are going to come out. And there were illustrations in it. But the illustrations and descriptions were of a couple ships that we haven't seen in Star Wars before. So the U-Wing, so it's like an X or a Y-Wing, right? But it's kind of U-shaped. It's really cool looking. It's got like a cockpit, kind of like a Y-Wing, but with these protruding wings out the front that make it kind of the shape of a U. Really cool looking ship. So some type of rebel ship from that we've never seen.
Does it look like it's influenced by any era of science fiction that you can tell? Like old school?
More old school. Not like your neoclassical kind of look like Phantom Menace had.
Yeah.
But more like industrial. Kinda.
Okay.
Much more like the X-Wing or the Y-Wing. Very much in that
okay.
style.
Okay.
And then another ship they had was definitely some type of TIE fighter. But it looked like the TIE Wasp fighter kind of thing from the Legacy comic book series. So if you haven't seen it, instead of the wings parallel on the sides, they're more like a jet wings on a jet.
Uh-huh.
So it looks almost like a wasp flying around.
Wow.
But definitely a TIE cockpit, different wings.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks really cool.
So one of these was a rebel.
One was a rebel. One was definitely imperial.
Yeah.
And then they confirmed Death Troopers. They're called Death Troopers.
They call them Death Troopers.
Yeah. Yeah. And it had the name, possibly the name of the guy in the white cloak. And it was like Director or something. Hopefully it's just a placeholder name. It seemed kind of a silly name, but.
Captain Phasma.
Yeah, that was kind of silly. So a lot of the copy was just kind of placeholder copy. So who knows what some of these things are? But the illustrations were really cool. I get real geeky about Star Wars spaceships.
Not you.
Well, it means more Legos to buy. So
yeah,
got to complete the collection. But so that's my Star Wars.
Will there be Legos before there's anything else?
There were a couple months before.
Wasn't there like speculation about Boba Fett based on Lego set or something?
There's a little bit of speculation on possibly Boba Fett showing up, but I'm not sure how doctored those images were, or if it. You know, sometimes they'll release like. Stuff from the other trilogies because there's a new movie coming out.
Yeah.
So who knows?
And that's the rumor, like four movies from now isn't
yeah,
like
a
Boba Fett biography.
That's a
kinda
rumor. Yeah. Either that or the Obi-Wan one or something.
Yeah.
They haven't settled yet. Oh, the other thing, they casted the guy who's going to play Han Solo in the Han Solo standalone movie.
I'm very skeptical about that.
Yeah. I forget his name, but he looks maybe like a young... You know, Han Solo.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So obviously Chewie's going to be...
Chewie's in it.
Yeah.
One of the rumors is that we find out why Chewie has a life debt to Han Solo and how they...
A life debt? I thought they were friends.
Well, you know, friends, but also he's has to be his friend.
Like obligated.
Obligated to be his friend. Who knows if Chewie's really saying all the stuff that Han says he's saying? I mean, I can't translate it, so
yeah.
I don't know. He might be saying, I hate you.
It's a pretty good banter back and forth.
You can tell, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's my Star Wars.
That's cool.
Yeah. Okay, now there's a show coming out we're kind of excited about. Westworld.
Yeah,
yeah,
on HBO.
You sent me the trailer to it or told me to watch the trailer.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Have you ever seen the movie Westworld?
I haven't, but I know all about it. I do think I saw it really early on as a kid.
Yeah, okay, that
because
was my first experience.
It's like early 80s, right?
Late 70s, maybe.
Late 70s, right.
And I saw it on TV. I probably shouldn't have, but I was like, this is the coolest thing ever.
Oh, well, that...
An amusement park with robots?
Oh, man. Right. And I have vague memories of actually seeing it,
okay.
But I knew of it.
Okay.
Even as a kid,
worth a watch. So I
went.
Well,
it's kind of like Blade. Like
that.
I mean, I get like I've seen Blade Runner enough times now.
Yeah.
But I can't tell you how many times I saw it as a kid. But there were certain movies when I was that age that had that creepy element to it I was just like, I don't know about this. You know, like Star Wars was not. Other than the cantina scene, like in, you know, I'm talking about 77. I'm talking about as like a 4-year-old kid watching it. that was pretty creepy. The cantina, but it was, you weren't in that long enough. It wasn't like the whole movie, you know, you weren't in the cantina long enough. You didn't know if Han and Chewie were bad guys. We've already talked about that before, but anyway, Westworld. So the premise is
it's a theme park in the future where you go and you get to experience whatever era in history you want. So there's Westworld, there's medieval world, there's like a space world or something else. I forget what the Rome world, maybe something like that. And
the robe, well, are they kind of androids?
There's androids that look like humans, act like humans, can do everything a human can do, but they're the population of this.
Yeah, so this you get to go world. In and they play out.
Yeah, so if you want to be a gunslinging hero,
you can
get to
shoot
go
an
do
android.
That. You shoot an android, it feels real to you.
Yeah.
But it's all kind of controlled behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Well, imagine if the androids don't
decided,
want to be androids anymore.
Artificial intelligence wise, one of them said.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think I'm trying
wasn't
to remember.
It the cowboy?
Yeah.
That who I believe is going to be played by Ed Harris.
Ooh, that's going to be good.
That's my speculation because I've seen him in a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
And I think Ed Harris is the black hat gunslinging, android in the world.
Yeah.
Anthony Hopkins, I believe, is the creator of this animatronic, whatever you want to call it.
The weird Walt Disney of this world.
Yeah, where it's not, I mean, this is like more than just virtual reality.
No, this is
like playing out your fantasy of being a gunfighter. What were the other worlds?
There's a medieval world and a Rome world, I think, and some other ones, too.
Yeah. So I think these androids then are going to, you know, essentially the plot is that these androids start a rebellion against humans, you know,
and, or at least one or two are murdering some people and they got to figure out which ones.
Yeah. So there's an investigation what's going, what in
it's
the world,
be good.
You know, what's going on. So that, and the good news is HBO's doing it.
So, you know, it's going to be good.
And it's, so it's actually, they stopped production, I think, for about a month, but they've kicked back in and they're producing it and they're still saying it's coming out this year. I haven't seen a date, but when they were originally talking about Westworld,
it's supposed to be the summer.
They were talking about it this summer.
Yeah, I don't know anymore.
But who knows if, I mean, because you don't know like CGI stuff.
Right.
Like they can knock
really
a lot of that out.
Androids and they might be rebelling.
Right. They may have a problem with fake Ed Harris in the deal, but that's going to be that we're both pumped about.
Yeah, we're going to definitely watch that show.
So if you are anticipating listening to the podcast this summer or when it comes out, if you're one of these very few, but there are a few, you know, there's a little, some rumblings out there in God Geek Land, but from listeners who are like, you talk about Game of Thrones too much and I don't watch Game
of
Thrones.
That's all we're watching right
now.
Well,
listen, we're telling you, we're going to talk Game of Thrones, but we're also telling you that when Westworld comes out, we will be talking Westworld.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You need to watch Westworld so that we can all discuss it together, right?
Yeah, totally.
Speaking of which...
Game of Thrones.
We gotta have a little Game of Thrones stuff.
Little.
I know some of y'all are not watching Game of Thrones, but most of y'all are watching Game of Thrones, and maybe you're like caught up, maybe you're DVRing it or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, this kid
well,
right
some
here.
Some people are just listening to us instead of watching it.
Right.
Like, that's how they experience it.
They
so
know
we
they're gonna hear about it anyway.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm saying, man, this kid right here, this guy, I watch it like in real time, which is rare.
Oh, when it airs.
I watch it Sunday night.
All right.
Yeah, when it
comes
out.
I'm like 10 minutes behind because we watched it on the app. But
right.
You know.
Well, so I mean, I'm Sunday night, and then sometimes I watch the episodes twice, especially when they're really good. I got a couple of things, you know. So we're in a week where this past Sunday, obviously, this was Daenerys the Fireborn at the end of the episode.
Reborn again in fire.
Coming walking out of there.
Yeah, that was cool.
You know, she doesn't burn, and everybody bows down to her. So that's where we are in the episode. So I probably just spoiled it for some of y'all who haven't heard this. But I got some questions. I have some like things for you to sort of. I want to get your reaction on some things.
Okay.
Hodor. You know.
Yeah.
What do you think happened to him?
Man, traumatic brain injury maybe?
Well, that's what kind of my guess is, but there's some thoughts out there or theories out there.
Okay, what have you heard?
Is he a warg?
Oh, and his brain got messed up in the process because they
stayed under for too long. Like he stayed under the sea for too long and he drowned, kind of thing. Like the three-eyed raven. And so here's the theory.
Okay.
So who knows if this is true?
George R. Martin.
But it's fun not anymore because he's not even writing these episodes. So Leanna.
Yeah.
Which so much of the story seems like it's sort of now circling around. We're getting a lot of that. So Bran went back in time. He saw Hodor as
a normal kid
that was a giant, big kid. But he was kind of sweet on Leanna or Lyanna, however you want to say it. He took her horse or well, like he his handle on her horse. So is it possible that Hodor is the horse's name? Her horse's name
is Hodor.
And when she went to the Tower of Joy, did he warg as the horse to protect her? And
wow, that
stay
is a
under
stretch
too
of a
long.
Theory, but it could totally work.
Isn't
I like
that
it.
Crazy?
I like it a
and
lot.
That, and that, that, like, he stayed under for too long, and so his brain became... So he's got a horse brain. And
which
here's
is funny because he's a horse now. He
that's
carries
what I'm saying.
Bran
that's what the theory is saying, that like he carries Bran around like a horse, like it's normal.
Oh, man. And
so did he turn into, unfortunately...
See, this is the best part about this show. Is you can come up with theories and talk about them.
And who knows if we'll ever even find
and
out.
Who cares? But that's the fun of this
show.
It's
a fascinating little twist on what could it be.
Oh, I totally see that.
So here's the other thing. And it almost goes back into Jedi mind trick talk of theology.
Okay.
Because this was glossed over and they never really came back to it.
Okay.
But I felt like it was a profound moment in the show. Jon Snow... Who comes back to life? He's reanimated in his body. The Red Lady comes. What's the first question she asks him? Do you remember?
What did you see?
What did you see when you were dead? What did you see? Like what? Tell me what. Because she's 300. She's 300 years old.
She's been delaying
death. She's been. You know. She's thinking it's any time for me. And his reaction was nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. So I wonder what your reaction to that is.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Maybe he didn't really die. Maybe he went in as wolf. Who knows? Maybe there's nothing. But this seems like a very spiritual world, so it'd be hard to say within their system in their universe that there wouldn't be an afterlife.
Have deep magic type stuff going on.
Yeah,
they have
obviously some type of I don't know which gods are the real gods in this.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
But there's gods, maybe, or one or more, who knows.
Right.
Within their mythology, there's got to be something after death. But
yeah,
again, that's me reading into it.
It makes me wonder, though, what it makes him think about the whole ice zombies and all of the... Like, there's a lot for Jon Snow. Like, if... And just think about now, too, he's going... He's got to, like, avoid death. Like... Talking about being scared of death, there's nothing there. His thing is like he wakes up and he just got stabbed and murdered.
Yeah.
So all he remembers being murdered by all of his friends and doesn't remember. Now that doesn't mean that he didn't actually experience something. He just maybe it's erased from his memory because he's been
That's
reanimated
true. That
kind
be
of
it.
Thing. Who knows? Yeah. But I thought it was a fascinating
but
part.
For him, he's struggling with enemies to the north, enemies to the south. Enemies amongst me.
I'm tired of
and
fighting.
And if I die,
I'm tired of killing people. I'm tired of fighting, you know.
And now they got my brother. Ah.
Well, yeah. And so, and now we'll see and it almost ties back into for him in this story, what is my purpose? And now his purpose is sort of reaffirmed of we've got to take back Winterfell. I've got to defend
my family.
I've got to defend the only people who I know and love left.
Yeah.
And it was so cool. The wildlings, you know, obviously they're in. They're going to have that giant.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that giant is so cool, man.
I hope Ramsay gets his comeuppance.
Oh,
the giant.
I hope that giant just rips him in half. Oh, wait.
Oh man.
I hope everyone forgives everyone.
It's fantasy.
Yeah, right. And I'm a sinner. So anyway, man, we don't have much more time. There's so many fascinating things going on in
Such
Game of Thrones. But man, that makes it another week for us on this podcast. Thank you so much for hanging out with us and listening. Man, our listenership is growing all the time, and so we just plan on keep pumping these things out week after week, geeking out on God stuff, geeking out on geek stuff. So we'll see you next week on the God Geeks Podcast.